devil's advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We will take your calls today. Reaction on the overturning of Roe v. Wade, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'm at Buzzard Billy's, a fine saloon and victual place here in La Crosse, Wisconsin on Pearl Street. I am sitting next to the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler. And we're in La Crosse because it's a Dem Party weekend. The convention being held about 150 yards from here. Tomorrow we'll do special expanded coverage beginning at 6. A lot of the speeches, certainly a lot of fine guests, but Ben, you know, we got to win. And this is a very important elective cycle. Some might say the most important elective cycle of your chairmanship, sure. Obviously, we held serve. We prevented Trump from being the president ongoing. But it's been hard for the Democrats to deliver the full Biden agenda. What was promised really hasn't come to fruition. And it's left some voters wanting. And in the rural parts of Wisconsin, the western part of Wisconsin, the northern part of Wisconsin, and Ben, I've spent a little more time outstate than I anticipated this year, but I can tell you there's this want of something more. So what do you think that is, and how did the Democrats deliver in a sincere way and convince rural voters that they are cared for and the Dems are the party for them?
So the fascinating thing for me is that we have almost like a stealth operation. We've delivered beyond, I think, what people could have thought was possible in these conditions of divided government when Republicans are trying to obstruct and undermine everything the governor does. Because Democrats, with no Republican help, passed the American Rescue Plan, empowered Governor Evers to have discretion over funds that we needed to use, the governor launched the Main Street Bounce Back Program, and there are 4,200 Main Street businesses that reopened vacant storefronts and expanded premises.
We're one of them. There we received one of those grants.
Those grants have made such a difference in small towns and medium-sized towns and in cities across the state. We've gotten broadband into 300,000 homes and businesses across Wisconsin, overwhelmingly rural. We've paved enough roads to drive to Denver and back. We've gotten our schools back in the top 10 in the country. We've got record low unemployment and a huge budget surplus and a 15% income tax cut for middle-class Wisconsinites. That is almost the definition of a successful governorship in the first term. And this is a governor who is hungry to do even more on all these fronts. It's the common sense stuff that connects with people's lived experience. Now, the catch is that a lot of folks know that those things have gone well, but they might not realize that, because a lot of Republicans don't want to tell them, that Governor Evers was this driving force across all these different dimensions of success. So over these next few months...
That's, of course, Ben, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Because it's Evers and Biden to be blamed for the rampant inflation and the high gas prices. What do you think the Dems' response to that is? Because obviously the economy affects everyone. And kitchen table issues, if you're not paying attention to the J6 hearings, if you're just trying to live your life and get your kid to soccer practice, you do notice higher gas prices. And when the Republicans say that's Biden's fault, that's Evers' fault, how did the Dems fight back on that message?
The most critical thing, first of all, you acknowledge the reality of the pain. I don't think there's a person listening right now who hasn't had to do a double take when they looked at the price at the pump. But the second thing is, I mean, this is a global problem. All around the world, gas prices are high. We have a war with Russia, a giant oil producer. And the question is, who is fighting for you? Who is fighting to bring those costs down? And the answer is right there in the congressional record. Every Democrat voted to stop oil company price gouging, and every Republican voted against it. It is as plain as day. Democrats are actually fighting to bring people's costs down. What are Republicans doing? Republicans are fighting to overturn the 2020 election retroactively. We know what their priorities are because they spend all day doing it. We had yesterday, look at the news, Michael Gabelman, he's deleting records. He's running the special counsel investigation.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, exactly. Ron Johnson spending 2 minutes helping coordinate the delivery of the fake elector, slates to Mike Pence. I mean, this is all these guys care about is locking in power for themselves, and Democrats are actually trying to do something about the problems people face. So our job is to make sure people know who's fighting for them. But once you see that, the choice is pretty easy about who you want to vote for.
Do you believe, like I do, that perhaps our U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has committed criminal acts and should get a good effing defense attorney? Ben, should the Dems be using this sort of blunt language? Should we be calling out Ron Johnson and saying, I mean, we had a former U.S. prosecutor on the show, James Santel, the other day. He laid out the federal code that in all probability Ron Johnson has broken.
So I think for Democratic candidates, you point to these dangling threads and you start to pull. Because there is a lot left to unravel with this guy. We don't know every place where it's all going, but we can see that he was right there involved in trying to overturn the will of the voters. And if I will say one thing, I'm a voter myself. We voters do not like having our will overturned. We're supposed to be a democracy in this country. This is the United States of America. We fought a revolution. People have died for our freedom. The whole idea is that we, the people, get to choose who's in charge, not some Republican politician who thinks that they know better than what the public thinks. So it's pretty basic. And it also speaks to this question. Ron Johnson fundamentally is about serving himself. We remember in 2020, after the election, he was running these hearings with conspiracy theorists, and then he had a conversation with the former Republican County Party Chair in Brown County, where he explained that he knew that Biden won, but it would be political suicide to admit it to the public and go up against Donald Trump. So this was about him trying to save his own political bacon by doing something that is essentially an attack on America. And he has continued with this kind of baloney, this garbage, all the way to the present day. This is a huge vulnerability for him. It's a political vulnerability. It's also fundamentally offensive to me as an American. And I think most people, the more they learn about this, the more offended they are. Democrats have to show we're fighting for them. And we have to point out that Republicans are just in it for themselves.
Ben, I didn't live... Dominic, any time for questions, but we got this beautiful lacrosse center tomorrow. Tell people what they can expect. We're going to do a broadcast brought to us locally by Chad's Design Build, but what can the people expect to hear tomorrow night? Tony Evers, who else?
Listen, Tony Evers, Senator Tammy Baldwin, the force, Ron Kind, taking a bow after the 24 years of great service here in the 3rd Congressional District. You'll hear from Josh Call. You'll hear tomorrow from candidates to replace Ron Kind. There's a great group of Dems running. You'll hear from our state party chair. I don't know about that guy, but you'll hear about other state party leaders, from our state legislators. It's going to be an all-Wisconsin dynamite lineup tomorrow, and then Senate candidates on Sunday. Don't miss it here on the Devil's Advocate Radio Network.
Well, we're not doing the speech of Sunday. I hate to say it, but we will kill me tomorrow and the rest of this big show. Thank you, Ben Wickler. More Devils live.